Well, obviously, there is a strong push towards artificial intelligence here in the United States, but other countries are taking ambitious bets as well, like the United Arab Emirates. They are integrating AI directly into everyday government services. In Abu Dhabi, residents are using a TAM app, which is a Considerate Done, which acts as a digital government assistant. It can remind users when key documents like national IDs or health insurance or vehicle registration needs to be renewed. It's got an AutoGov feature that can automatically complete paperwork and even make required payments on the user's behalf. And the whole idea here is to make interacting with the government seamless, all with artificial intelligence.
Wow.
That to me is not something that feels even remotely possible,
I mean,
here in the United
States.
So
what, you imagine waking up, you know, your driver's license been renewed, that parking ticket you got was paid.
Right.
You know, health insurance updated. You didn't even lift a finger.
Well, and the United Arab Emirates has invested billions and billions of dollars into AI infrastructure and research as part of their long-term strategy. So it isn't just the United States, but could we see more of this technology being integrated into our daily lives like this? Karthik Nandakumar is the Associate Professor of Computer Science and Engineering at Michigan State University and joins us to talk about it. Professor, it's good to have you.
Hi, good to meet you.
How did the UAE get to this point? They've obviously been investing in the research and development side of it, but now they are jumping in head first.
Yeah, so basically they realized almost a decade back that oil is no longer going to work for them in the long term. So they decided to work on digital data, digital transformation, data, and AI. So they were one of the first to introduce this Ministry of AI, and they tried to introduce AI into every possible government interaction that is for working in the UAE. So that is how they decided to get into this project. So that's how it started a decade back, basically.
You know, I'm sure for a lot of our listeners, you know, what they're doing with the, you know, what the UAE is doing, I mean, it sounds incredibly convenient, but at what point does that convenience start kind of raising concerns about privacy?
Yeah, so right now what they are trying to use is they are not trying to build these kind of big large language models and this AI agents, which is what the big tech US companies are trying to do. So that is where you need lots of data, lots of private information and so on.
Yeah.
So what these people are trying to do is just trying to take these models and then try to make them user-friendly, how to help people in their daily interactions and so on. So there, it's more or less like digital payments or digital activities, right? So it's not that privacy-sensitive since they are not building any of these large language models just like the U.S. big tech companies do.
Very interesting. Karthik Nandakumar, thank you so much for your time and insight on this. It's unbelievable what the UAE is doing. Fascinating story. We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you got it.
This is, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, man, with this. This is just going bonkers, man, everywhere.
It feels like that is big government to the nth degree.
Oh, yeah.
And I just don't see something like that happening here in the United States, at least anytime soon.
No.
Former President Joe Biden is releasing a book on his presidency and both his decisions to run for reelection and eventually step aside. It's going to be published shortly after the midterm elections. It will be released November 17th. The book is called Promise Me America. And I cannot help but to think that this is an attempt to rewrite the narrative around Joe Biden.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. Because there are questions, and people have their own narratives, and he wants to try to change those narratives.
Yeah, and I mean, look, it's not surprising that a former president releases a book.
No, no. Okay,
not surprising.
No, you do it all the time.
But the First Lady released a book recently. Mm-hmm. Hunter Biden has been out much more. I mean, he's on podcast galore. He's talking about bleep Trump, blah, 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 blah.
And then he got, right? He won some money too, didn't he? I think he won a lawsuit recently as well.
Well, the reality is after that book that detailed the inside inner workings of the Biden administration, particularly the inner circle of advisors close to the president, close to the first lady, close to the family, and the efforts that they went to, the lengths that they went to keep them away or him away from other influential Democrat lawmakers on Capitol Hill who were out, you know, going, this guy's fine. He's not walking around like a Roomba.
Yeah.
He's fine. He's not talking to people who in at the G7 in Italy when nobody's there. He's fine.
Yeah.
All the debate. It's just a momentary relapse.
Mm-hmm.
All these people were going out in support of him when they didn't realize he was struggling.
He was,
And his mental capacity was degrading.
Yeah.
And it feels like now there is an attempt to rewrite all of this. And he's talking about, well, we're going to talk about, you know, the 2020 election, why I decided to run, why I decided to drop out, why we ultimately went with Kamala Harris, all of these things. But he's not going to talk about, like, the border, for example, which was an unmitigated disaster during his presidency.
Right.
He's going to try to rewrite some of this stuff. And again, it's your former president, write a book, it's fine. People are going to read it. But it feels hollow.
Is he going to, I wonder if he's going to talk about the debate and how, you know, how he fared on the debate, because his wife, you know, she had her own thoughts about, you know, he had a cold, he was taking medication, it was a lot of different things. So is that going to be discussed? You know, Kamala Harris in her book said some things. Let's see if he's going to contradict some of the things that she said in her book.
Right. I mean, Joe Biden after that debate was like, good job, Joe. You answered all the questions good. Like,
yeah.
I was like, what are we doing here?
Come on.
You know, so again, it's like we saw what happened. We know what happened.
Sure.
And again, I have no problem with him writing a book. He mentions that his prostate cancer treatment's been going well. I'm
Which
so happy
great.
To hear
that's,
that.
That's excellent.
But it just feels like it's not, this isn't what I think he expects it to be. Because, again, we saw what was going on.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think it's odd. And, again, for former First Lady releases her book. Mm-hmm. He's releasing his book.
Mm-hmm.
It's what it feels like to me, trying to rewrite things. Coming up on the other side, Rusty Hills joins us. He's the former chair of the Michigan Republican Party. Wrote an interesting piece about Michigan gubernatorial candidates, particularly Republicans, that are running to be the head of Donald Trump's fan club and not Michigan governor. Interesting take. We'll talk to him next on JR Morning.